coaches are always held responsible for the development or lack of development of a player or team. Now, what you sounds like to me, what you're saying is the scouts and GMs who normally get a pass and get to hire two coaches before people look at their decisions, now they're going to be held high to a higher standard because it's going to be important that you draft the right players, that now free agents that you go after and sign, that you sign the right guy. You know, and I agree with you. Back in the day, a general manager could make mistake after mistake, and they could always reshuffle or if the owner was willing to spend the money, go out and sign different players. But now with this new penalty that teams have, the onus is squarely on management now to make better decisions.
I agree with that. I think that's a very good way to look at it. I think you're going to find that teams are going to be more responsible about long-term planning, and the onus is going to be on the teams that scout the best, the teams that draft the best, the teams that develop their own players. But at the same time, it's still not entirely clear because this thing hasn't totally kicked in yet. There's still another year to go when the repeater tax kicks in. It's not entirely clear if this is going to level the playing field from big market to small market. Because if you look at what Memphis had to do with Rudy Gay, you know, that was a financial decision. It wasn't about Rudy Gay exercising his power as a star and saying, I want to go to Toronto, send me there. He was sent there for a reason, because Memphis in a small market couldn't afford to have three max guys on their team. But I think what we're going to find is that over the long haul, you know, a team like the Nets in the biggest market in the league, they're not going to be able to have, you know, a $90-plus million payroll for very long either. So I think you're going to see shorter windows where a team like the Knicks or the Nets, they're going to take their shot. And then if they don't get it done, or even if they do get it done, they're going to take a step back and reload and then take another shot at it. That's what Mark Cuban did, and everyone ridiculed him when he let Tyson Chandler go to the Knicks after winning the championship. But I think he saw this stuff coming faster than other people. And another guy I mentioned in my column was Sam Presti, and people are maybe criticizing him for trading Eric Maynor for what's perceived as nothing. But what he did was he was able to find a very smart way to extend the lifespan of an asset, and that asset being Eric Maynor. And by not taking back a draft pick for him, by taking back a trade exception, he essentially extends Eric Maynor's usefulness to the team for another year, where in the future, somewhere down the line, when they need to upgrade the team, they can do it without trading one of their players. They can trade a draft pick for a player and fit him into that trade exception. And they can do it without kicking in these luxury tax penalties that come when you're $4 million or more over the tax. So it's not entirely clear if this is going to level the playing field, but it certainly is a change, and I think the teams that adapt to it the best and the most intelligently are the ones that are going to succeed.